Acts chapter 1, verse number 12, and then I'll move into chapter 2 tonight. Dear Father God, we thank you for the precious word of God. I thank you for its truths. I thank you that they are eternal. They are without fault. They are without flaw today. That we can trust in your word. We can trust in its promises, and we can trust you tonight, dear God. I pray you just teach us by your Spirit. Help us to just take the word of God in, apply it to our hearts and its truth. We ask for your help tonight. We ask all things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 12 through 15, and then I'm going to jump forward to chapter number 2 in the book of Acts. And the Bible says, "Then returned they into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up in an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." And if we jump forward to chapter number 2, I'm going to go through verses 1 through 3 here. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." You know, we find here in the book of Acts, as a result of the coming of the Holy Spirit, as well as God's people being given over to earnest prayer in this upper room, he commanded them to return to Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit was received from the Father. They returned as commanded. They went into the upper room, a familiar place, while waiting on God to move upon them. And as we talked about this morning, you cannot accomplish the will of God without the power of God upon your life. They went to get ready and to prepare for what God was going to have for them in their lives. We find in the book of Acts that people taught by Jesus how unified they were in belief and works, and a powerful result of coming together in Jesus' name in service to Him. We will look tonight at 11 different things we find as a result of faith and service to Jesus Christ as we serve under His banner and under His name tonight. So there's going to be some things we're going to look at and see tonight. But if you remember back this morning, we were talking about in the upper room. Jesus told them to head back to Jerusalem, back to where all the persecution and all the things were going on, and they did. They went right back in that room. They locked themselves back in and they went back into prayer. For 10 days, they were faithfully in prayer, seeking God. And then finally, as promised, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. And all of a sudden, it did everything Jesus had actually warned them. We're going to see some of that tonight towards the end of the message. Jesus had warned them that some of the things that He taught them would not make any sense to them until the Holy Spirit came. Matter of fact, He said, "It's expedient for me to depart from you, because the Father will not send Him unless I go back to the Father." And I know I'm sitting here, we're all sitting here probably thinking just like them, how is it better for the Holy Spirit to come than for you to be here with me? Doesn't make a lot of sense, because there was a new ministry that was going to begin after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So everything that He had introduced him to the power of Spirit, because if you remember, they would cast out demons, they would do miracles, they would heal people. There was things they were already doing. He introduced him to the Spirit. But this is a new ministry. This is a new power. He is now going to seal and indwell and work in a way that they never knew was possible for them to do. So we're moving into that tonight. But in point one, we see one thing when the whole after, because of this is before Pentecost, what do we see them focusing? We see them focused in on prayer in chapter 1, verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer." They was faithfully seeking the Lord for those 10 days. They were faithfully in prayer for God's will upon their lives, upon the church, and everything that was going to happen. And then point two, we see there is a faith and an expectation. As we look at this evening, we see, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," they were all in one accord in one place. By the way, for 10 days, they've been going to the same place, faithfully in prayer seeking God. And boy, if we could just get a hold of how much important prayer is in our lives. By the way, God is moved by prayer. It is important that we understand the necessity for prayer in our lives. But we see they wasn't just praying. They had faith and they had expectation. They knew that what Jesus promised would come true. And it's important for us to understand that which the Bible says will come to pass will come to pass. And you can bank on it tonight. And that's important. I tell people who want to pick and choose, I said, okay, which one do you want to throw out? John 3:16? Which one do you want to throw out tonight? I said, by the way, you take it all or you throw it all out. You either accept the whole counsel of the Word of God or you receive none of it. Because, by the way, it's all inspired. And we need every word of it. For Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And we need God's precious Word to guide and direct our lives. I mean, if you look around us, who's going to set our living standards? Who's going to tell us what to believe? Who's going to tell us how to act? You definitely don't want to go turn on the TV and get no instruction. Because everybody's confused. Nobody knows what to do. People running in each other's house, stealing stuff. People running all over the road going crazy. It's nothing but a bunch of confusion. It's nothing but these people need help is what they need. I tell people they need help from the Lord tonight. I'm glad that I'm not running around crazy because guess what? Jesus saves crazy people. Amen. You might have been crazy yesterday, but you meet Jesus, you won't be crazy tomorrow. He'll straighten you out, amen. I don't care how crooked you are, He'll straighten you out. But we see there was prayer and there was faith and expectation before Pentecost. They were for 10 days, they were faithfully seeking God. They were faithfully in prayer before the Lord. And if you look here in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and verse number 8, we see where Jesus is telling them, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then if you go to verse number 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So one thing he's telling them, yes, go back. Spend your time in prayer. Expect, wait. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes down, go ahead and get ready because it ain't going to be like nothing you've ever experienced before. They walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But what He's telling them is when the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to be like something you ain't never seen before. It's going to be like something you've never experienced before. This will be a newfound power at the beginning of the New Testament church and age. But we see after Pentecost, that's why I have this broke down in that paper I have for y'all tonight to follow. We see three. We're going to see Bible study. We're going to see doctrine. And we're going to see truth. And you look at chapter 2, verse 42. I'm going straight through it tonight. That's why I gave y'all that. So you keep up with me, hopefully. Amen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So we see the Spirit of God has now descended upon the church. It's now descended upon that upper room. They've now gone out and preached. And now they're back together and guess what? They still all in one accord. And they still all in likeness of mind and in faith. But boy, if we could grab a hold of this, because you're going to see this as we continue to go through this. They are constantly unified. They are constantly of one heart, one mind in Christ. And how many places have we been to in our lives where there was not unity and in one accord in a church house? And I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. It's not a common thing. So when you have it, praise God, because it's a beautiful thing when you have that going on where people are unified in their faith and in their belief and serving the Lord together in their lives. But moving forward in verse point four, fellowship and communion. You see not only 42, but look at verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and dared eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It done got warm up here. But moving along here. We see they started in prayer. We see they started with faith and expectation. Now Pentecost has hit. And we see Bible studies. We see doctrinal teaching. We see truth breaking out amongst the believers. They're not just praying anymore. They're now moving forward. And things are beginning to happen. In point five, we see they're now to the point where they're giving and they're sharing. And they've got compassion on one another and on other people. Why? The Holy Spirit has showed up. And where before all they was used to doing is preaching repent or burn. That's all you really saw going on. Now there's a new love. Now there's a new compassion. There's a new care for people. So we see there's prayer, there's faith, there's expectation, there's Bible study, there's doctrine, there's truth, there's fellowship, there's communion, there's giving, there's sharing compassion. Look at chapter 2, verses 44. And it said, all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And I'm going to go to chapter 4, verses 32. I want you to see what's going on in the beginning of the church age, and it sets an example for everything. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with the great power gave the apostles witness unto the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as was possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to as he needs. What we see going on here is in the beginning of the church, there were those who had great wealth. There were those who were poor. And what they were doing was making sure everybody had their needs fulfilled. And that's so important to understand in a church. What do we do if we know somebody, for instance, we've had people out with COVID, we've had people out sick, what do? We'll go get them medicine, we'll go bring them food. And I'm telling you, if there comes a time where, let's say we have a person in the body of Jesus Christ here, let's say their vehicle's broke down and now they can't get it fixed, they can't afford to get anything. I'm telling you right now, I'll allocate for somebody who's faithfully serving the Lord any day to see what we can do to come together to help them get that fixed and get back on. Why? That's our brother or sister in Jesus Christ. And that's what you find in the book of Acts that's missing in places. So I tell people, let the Bible determine your doctrine, not religious societies and organizations. Let the Bible be your teacher and your guide. If somebody in the church of the living God has a need and we know about it, then if there is something we can do to help, we want to help those individuals. We want to help carry that burden. And you see this going on starting right off in the book of Acts. Wasn't like that really in the Old Testament. I mean, they did have the fields they could go gleaning, but other than that, you're on your own. So Jesus brings in a whole new set of rules. You know, back then it was always an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now he's saying, love your enemies. Do good unto them that hate you. You know, that's not always an easy message. Sometimes that's a hard thing to take in, a hard pill to swallow. You know, we come from the Old Testament background where they're out there wielding a sword. You know what the sword we wield today? This is my sword. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who do we fight against? The enemy of God is who we fight against. We don't fight against people. And we're in a day of ages. Somewhere along the line, people have lost that truth that we fight with the sword of the Word of God. I don't just because somebody makes me mad get to go rally up a bunch of weapons and knock somebody off. Now that's what the world does, but that's not what the Church of the Living God does. That's not how we fight, because by the way, how has that helped anybody? If we go hurt a bunch of people and a bunch of people die because we're trying to prove a point, we just sent a bunch of people to hell. That's all we did. But the sword of the Word of God can save souls and transform lives. Amen. So we have to remember we serve a God who tells us to operate by faith and by truth. That's why what the Bible teaches is so important in understanding what the Old Testament versus what the New Testament, New Covenant teaches. By the way, there's not a left side of the Bible God and a right side of the Bible God. He's still the same God on both sides. We just see Him different through the lens of Jesus Christ than what we were used to seeing Him in the Old Testament. Because now when we look at Him, we see God through the person of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be getting mercy and grace tonight, amen. It's because of Him that we are offered that grace and that mercy and that love because of who He is. So we see that prayer, that faith, that expectation. We see Bible study, doctrine, truth going on within the beginning of the church. We see fellowship, communion, giving, sharing, and compassion. And chapter 2, verse 47, we're going to see where they're all worshiping together. Chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were all together, coming together, praising God. Wasn't a bunch of sects anymore. He was unifying everybody. He was bringing everybody under one banner. We see, moving forward, boldness in soul winning, witnessing, and preaching. In Acts 2:47, and we'll move past that, that's where we just went. Go to 4:29. We're going to see several things going on here. And now the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Hey, we're making it very clear. Everything that we do is through the power of the Holy Ghost and because of Jesus Christ, because of His name's sake. It wasn't by their own name. It wasn't by their own works. It was by the power of God that they were healing and they were helping so many people in their lives. Moving forth, and point that you see purpose and commitment to God and the brethren. Now back in 1:8, we see that's where he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, if you go look back at the early life of the disciples, you see a completely different disciple than what you see now. By the way, when you started your journey with God, you ain't the same place you was either. It's a journey. It's a progression that takes place. God has to teach us. He has to lead us. Well, I'll never forget Brother Rob Kitchen. You got to start something to finish it. Well, that was a good message. I remember that. You can't never finish what you ain't started. And I'm so glad that we started with Jesus Christ upon that solid foundation. And everything is built upon Him. But in 4:20 through 29, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, in whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of His servant David, why did the heathen rage, and why did people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we might speak thy word. We see here that they're constantly in prayer and constantly beckoning before God for the power of God to rest upon their preaching, their teaching, their declaring the truth of the gospel. Because by the way, if you ain't got God on you, it ain't going to matter what you say. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, His convicting power, His convicting ministry, that people come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible tells me to convince, not to convict. It is only the work of God that can show somebody their lost condition and cause somebody to get saved. No matter how much I want them to get saved, no matter how much I pray for them, only God can save them. And that's why we need prayer so much in our lives. Everything has to begin with prayer. But as you move through here, you'll see the Holy Spirit fullness and power in these verses coming. You'll see in 10, purity, holiness, separation, and standards being laid out in the book of Acts. And look at 5, 11 through 13. By the way, this was the case with Ananias and Sapphira. And great fear came upon the church, and upon as many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs, wonders wrought amongst the people, and they were all in one accord, you see that again, in Solomon's porch. And of the rest there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. There was so much of the power of God upon the apostles that the people were scared of the apostles, if you understand what was going on. By the way, this is when Ananias and Sapphira just died. In front of the church house, by the way. That was the ones who sold a possession of land and claimed that they only got such and such and withheld, and they lied. And fear came across Peter. He said, you have not lied unto men. You have lied unto the Holy Ghost. You have come in here and claimed to be something you're not, and you've lied to God, and now you're going to have to eat your words. As soon as he finished speaking, he dropped dead. After he examined, he's like, what was you thinking? He said, I can't help you. God's fixing to make an example out of you. I'm going to tell you what's fixing to happen. I always tell people, I just delivered the mail. I didn't write the message. I just delivered the mail, amen. We might get beat all the time, but we just mail delivers. That's all we are. And when his wife, Sapphira, came up, he basically tells his whole thing. Hey, sister, let me ask you about what happened here. He investigated. That's what's going on in the story, by the way. I'm just not going into all the details because I'm moving through some things. And she basically admitted, yeah, we did it. She said, well, go ahead and get ready because those that are coming up just finished burying your husband. They're fixing to bury you. Go read the account for yourself. And that's why it says fear fell upon the church because they realized that God expects purity. Boy, I preach this in most places. They'll tell me never come back. But I'm here to tell you, God expects His children to live by a certain standard. We can't just go live like the world. We are children of God. We're supposed to reflect the glory and image of Jesus Christ in our lives. How we live, it matters. How are we going to be an example to a lost and dying world if we look just like them? It doesn't work that way. We're supposed to be set apart, one, for God's sake, and because we represent Jesus' name's sake, but two, so that they will see that there is a difference between us. It's not about exalting ourselves, it's about who we represent, and that's so important to realize. And then in 11, we see missions. And you'll see in here, and you can go through the verses, that's why I gave you all papers, in chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 15, you'll see missionary trips going on here with different of the apostles. But what I want you to see something tonight, and I want you to look at, if you look at this list, I challenge your mind to ask something. This is the example, by the way, that is set forth in the book of Acts for a local New Testament church. How many of those things do we find here? I had a point at all this. How many of those things do we find here? If you go through the list, do we have prayer meetings? Do we spend time in prayer? Absolutely. Do we have prayer? Do we have faith and expectation of what we ask? Yes, we do. I'm giving you this to show you some things. We do things a certain way for a reason because the Bible lays forth an example, and it's important that we follow the example. Bible study, doctrine and truth. How much new truth? How many new things have you learned? You're going to be learning a little bit more about the Holy Spirit coming up here in a minute. That's a deep subject. I can't teach it all to you in one time. It's too much. I'll overfeed somebody. Amen. Fellowship and communion. How many times I got to go tell you to go hang out with your brother or sister? No. When Jesus lives within and you understand truth, you just live it out in your life. But they was having to teach new people how to become Christians who did not know how. And it's so important to see that. This is the beginning of the church. There's a reason that this list is, I'm having y'all look at it tonight. Do we give? Do we share? Do we have compassion on one another? Absolutely. How many times have we give or shared or shown somebody some kindness or some love in this church body? Whether it's to people in the community or whether it's into people in our own body. So we find these things here. Worshiping and praising. We're always excited and shouting, glad to sing. God, sometimes, you know, the Spirit of God moves here and we got to kneel down. We got to get it right with God. And I mean, that's just part of it. I always tell people, I don't worry about the ones that's at the altar. I worry about ones that ain't never been there. That's the ones you got to worry about. You ain't got to worry about. I always tell people, stop picking on the one at the altar. They're trying to be clean. They're trying to live right for God. They're just making some mistakes. Amen. Give them a break. Don't pick on them. God will make you bunk heads with them if you mess with them. Go ahead and pick on them. Let him pull back that hand of protection just a little while. You'd be right there with them. I don't pick on these people. I go pray with them, amen. And we there to help them and pray with them, pray for them. But looking through this, boldness and soul winning, witness and preaching. Most of y'all heard me long enough. I tell people, look, I'm not a mean preacher, but whatever God puts on my heart, that's what's got to come out of the pulpit. This isn't my pulpit. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And my job is to declare His truth. And sometimes I get hit by my own stuff, and sometimes you might get hit by something that's coming out of there. That's not the intention. The intention is for you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Purpose and commitment to God and the brethren. How many of us are committed to God and to the families of other people without being told to do so? By the way, this is a work of when the Holy Spirit moves and leads and guides your life. This isn't something that's normally naturally done. You don't normally go with somebody who's not part of your family and become part of their family. But God puts you in a body and makes you a family, and there you don't see them as a stranger, you see them as a brother and sister. Holy Spirit fullness and power. We've seen in prayer, we've seen in preaching, where the Holy Spirit of God has descended. Purity, holiness, separation, standards, missions. We do support local missions. I want you to see this tonight. This isn't just what the example you see in the book of Acts. And I gave you all these scriptures to show you different things on purpose. But it's important that these things be found in any local assembly and New Testament body of Jesus Christ. I'm just thankful tonight that we're not missing a bunch of things. I'm thankful tonight that we're on target right now. But it's important to stay on target. That's what's so important. I want you to see we're on target. But it's important to stay there. I always tell people, it's not just about getting to the top of the mountain. It's staying up there, not falling down. Amen. 40 days Jesus taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God before He left. 10 days they met and prayed earnestly and awaited the promise and the will of God to be fulfilled. 50 days after His resurrection, Pentecost comes. And the Spirit comes upon and filled them all with His power to perform the work where they were called. He brought a new love and an empowerment to all believers in a way they were not used to. His coming began the church age, the New Testament ministry. So a lot of people, when they look at the Holy Spirit in the Bible, sometimes they get confused. They look in the Old Testament and He would come on and He would depart. You come in the New Testament, you'll never find a mention of that. Why? It says New Testament ministry. I got news. This is where people get confused. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and the New Testament and the New Covenant. When He comes in the New Covenant and in the New Testament ministry that we are in now, when He indwells, He seals and He abides with forever according to Jesus Christ. Now that's just Bible. Whether anybody likes it or not, that's straight Bible. He indwells and He seals and abides with forever. And we're going to see something about the Holy Spirit tonight. And I'm thankful. I tell people, according to your doctrine, I'd be scared to death every day. I wouldn't even want to leave my house. Not to mention, it wouldn't be a very pricey salvation if I could lose it that fast. I was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I live right to honor Him, not to keep myself by works of righteousness, because no man can declare their self righteous. No man can be righteous of himself. It is the work of divine grace that God imparts His holiness and His salvation unto us because of Jesus Christ. It's for His name's sake it says that we are slain all the day long. It's for His name's sake that we were saved tonight. It's not because of who we were. It's because of who we serve and what He's done on the cross tonight. Then we are who we are. And I thank God tonight for that. But I'm going to show you a couple things on the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close it on out. That's why I gave you it printed on your sheet. We're going to be in John 14 through 16. Something before we leave out of here. Because we're looking at the results from the upper room in Pentecost. When you see, it's because of their prayer, because of their faithfulness and their expectation, and the Spirit of God moved on them, you saw all these things took place because of that. Because like I've said, everything begins with prayer, and we need prayer in our life to accomplish that which God has for us. But in John 14, 15, John chapter 14, 15, we see, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I told you it's in the Bible. I was going to bring you there, amen. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and don't miss this, and shall be in you. In other words, He ain't inside you yet, but He's going to be. And when He comes in, there's going to be a change. So Jesus is preparing them for that which is going to come to pass. And then 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me and seeth me no more. But you seeth me, because I live, yet you shall live also. At that day, don't miss this. At that day, not talking about at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God descends, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. In other words, I will make myself known unto that person. So moving forward here to verse 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we see He is declaring in John chapter 14, as Christ speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. I've heard a lot of people say, I just wish Jesus would speak to me. He will. Through His Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us and moving on our hearts, and every one of us who has been there before knows when He is. Sometimes we love the message, sometimes we don't like the message, but nevertheless, we should heed and listen to what we know the Spirit is revealing unto us, because that is how He communicates to us, is through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. If you look at John chapter 15, two verses, 26 and 27. I'm trying to get y'all through tonight, amen, but I want to leave you here with something to look at, because some people don't know all this. So I want you to learn, I want you to see it, I want you to understand it in your life. But in 15, 26 and 27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He is testifying of Jesus Christ. In other words, he bears witness of the Savior. Not only does he tell you what the Savior wants to say to you, but he bears witness of Jesus Christ. And one more in John chapter 16. I'm going to close you out here. But these things have I told you, in John 16, 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient by the word, that speaks of more profitable. I know that don't sound like it makes a lot of sense. I just trust God at His word. Amen. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. So we see He is connecting us to the Savior and speaks to Christ for us. By the way, when I go in prayer because I'm sealed and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, I don't have to hope it gets there. Amen. I know that it gets there as a child of God because it says, and our spirit beareth witness with the Spirit that we are the children of God. That Spirit, that seal, that mark, I'm going to give you a little something tonight to think about. Here's what happened. The day that you confessed your sins, you called upon Jesus, you got saved, here's what happened. Basically, it's like God walked up with a stamp, said, bam, Jesus' name, you're sealed now. Because the Bible describes that you have been indwelled, you have been sealed, and you have been marked. And by the way, it's very clear that the enemy can tell you're sealed. He can see your mark. And I'm so glad that I know that He sees that mark and He can just pass on by. He might aggravate me a little bit, but guess what? He can't break it tonight. Amen. It's under the blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased eternal redemption for every one of us tonight. So as we look at the results from the Upper Room Pentecost, we see prayer, we see faith, we see expectation, we see Bible study, doctrine, truth, fellowship, communion, giving, sharing, compassion, worshiping and praise, boldness and soul winning, witness and preaching, purpose and commitment to God and the brethren, Holy Spirit, fullness and power, purity, holiness, separation, standards, and missions. All this is a result from the power of the Holy Spirit's coming in the New Testament ministry and them being constantly in unity and given over to prayer. By the way, the Holy Spirit's been sent. You don't have faith, you won't be unified, and you won't pray. You're not going to find none of this, by the way. Faith and prayer is key. I know it seems like a hammer back on prayer a lot because we need it in our lives. We need it in our lives. Whether we realize how much we need it, that's why Jesus spent so much time constantly telling them to pray. And He said, you got faith. You got to grow it. That's your job. You've got faith when you believe on me. It's your job to grow that faith. If we look at these things tonight, it should be an encouragement that we are on the right track. We are in the right direction. That you do find these things here. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't find them somewhere, there's an issue. Because they're straight laid out from the book of Acts. And these things are as an expectation that God should find within a New Testament local body church. The Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower, lead, guide, teach, and seal us. It all started with prayer. It continues by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit to guide, lead us in our lives. So I'm so glad that He sent the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that I know about the upper room tonight, amen. Those here this morning, that was a good message, amen. I'm so glad I need an upper room in my life. We all need one in our lives. Don't forget as we go out of here to remember to pray and ask God to help you, to help your family, help this church, help somebody else, because it all started with prayer. It's all got to continue with prayer. We need God upon our life just like they needed God upon them so that they could perform the work they were called to and we can perform the work that we are called to do.